It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
I mean, one of the things that's a little confusing for folks is we have had a voter ID requirement for several years. What changed is what happens on election day if you don't have ID with you. And the difference is that it used to be that you could sign an affidavit under penalty of perjury that you were who you were and go ahead and vote normally on the machines. If you don't have your ID with you this year, however, you'll be given a provisional ballot, and only after you prove your identity to the local registrar will that ballot be counted. So this year it's really important that people understand what ID is required and that they have ID with them if they want their vote for sure to count on election day.
Claire Gastaniaga, Executive Director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Virginia, enlightens us on our legal rights as voters and what to do if confronted with a voting problem or challenge on election day. And during this year's News You Can Use, you'll hear some helpful tips to follow during this year's Medicare open enrollment period from October 15 through December 7. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 184, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. This year's Medicare open enrollment period opened on October 15 and continues through and including December 7. Whether you're a person with Medicare, a caregiver, or a professional helping clients review their coverage options, there are helpful tips to keep in mind. Number one, get started early. The best time to start thinking about whether you want to change your drug or health coverage is now. If your circumstances have changed, for example, you're taking different medications, or you've heard that your plan is changing, it's important to have time to review all of your options. Number two, pay attention to your mail. This is the time of year that you'll start to get a lot of information. Your Part D or Medicare Advantage plan sends out an annual notice of coverage in September, which explains any changes happening to your plan and/or to your benefits in 2013. And if you get help paying for your Medicare, such as through the Medicare Part D Low Income Subsidy or Medicare Savings Program, you may receive mail from Social Security or Medicare asking you to verify your income or informing you of changes to your subsidy. You also may get a letter if your plan is ending service in your area or has not met quality standards for 3 years. Save all of these letters and have them on hand as you review your coverage options. Number three, review, review, review. Many people are happy with their current coverage and would rather not check what other options are available to them. But this is a very important step and can save you money. Remember the four C's. Cost. How much have you spent in premiums, deductibles, and co-payments in 2012? And how will these amounts change in 2013? Coverage. Does your plan cover all of the medications you believe you will need in 2013? Do you want to get your health care and drug coverage through one single plan? If so, you should review your Medicare Advantage options. Convenience. To what extent will your plan restrict access to certain medications you need in 2013, such as through prior authorization or quantity limits? Can you use the plan at the pharmacy of your choice? Can you get your prescriptions through the mail if you prefer to? And finally, customer service. Is your plan responsive when you have a question? Does it have a high quality rating as displayed in the Medicare Plan Finder? For more information, go to www.mymedicarematters.org or www.ncoa.org. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's case that changed the Commonwealth is Jefferson Standard Life Insurance Company versus Hedrick. In May 1940, B.M. Hedrick submitted an application for a $35,000 loan to Frank Bell, an agent of Jefferson Standard Life Insurance Company. Over the next 4 months, Hedrick was assured the application had been submitted. In September, Bell admitted he had not submitted the application. Hedrick immediately applied elsewhere, got the loan, and started building the apartment building, which opened 4 months later than expected. Both the Arlington County Circuit Court and the Supreme Court of Virginia found Hedrick entitled to damages resulting from the delay, holding that if one represents as true what is really false in such a way as to induce a reasonable man to believe it, and the representation is meant to be acted on, and he to whom the representation is made, believing it to be true, acts on it and in consequence sustains damage, there is fraud. This has been the law ever since. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and Jefferson Standard Life Insurance Company versus Hedrick is this week's case that changed the Commonwealth.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the American Civil Liberties Union of Virginia. We're speaking with the Executive Director of the ACLU of Virginia, Claire Gastanaga, and with the general election a mere 6 days away, the most timely topic to speak about are voting rights for Virginians. Welcome back to the show, Claire.
Oh, thank you very much, Marty. Good to be with you today.
It's good to have you back. And, of course, you being here and talking about this issue is extremely timely because of Virginia's new voter identification law. Would you tell our listening audience what that law is all about? And then we'll get into the specifics of what people need to do to comply.
Well, Marty, I mean, one of the things that's a little confusing for folks is we have had a voter ID requirement for several years. What changed is what happens on election day if you don't have ID with you. And the difference is that it used to be that you could sign an affidavit under penalty of perjury that you were who you were and go ahead and vote normally on the machines. If you don't have your ID with you this year, however, you'll be given a provisional ballot, and only after you prove your identity to the local registrar will that ballot be counted. So this year it's really important that people understand what ID is required and that they have ID with them if they want their vote for sure to count on election day.
So what identification do people need to produce? I know that there's a fairly long list, and not every list that's out there is totally complete. What do people have to bring?
Well, the good news is that the bill was amended by the governor during the legislative process to expand quite significantly the kinds of IDs that will be acceptable. You do not, in Virginia, you do not have to have a photo ID with you. You can bring a driver's license or a state ID that has a photo. You can bring an employer identification card with a photo, and you can bring any kind of military or other federal government ID. But it's important to note that you also may choose to bring with you a utility bill, a student ID, anything that has your name and address on it, and that is a pretty broadly inclusive list. In Virginia, for purposes of the state elections, you can also use your Social Security card, although if you are a first-time federal voter, that is not acceptable ID for the presidential election. So it's a little confusing, but I think it's important for people to understand that the list is very broad, and if they have their phone bill, their power bill, those are easy things to bring with them that will satisfy the requirement for ID.
So I gather it does not have to be a photo ID, but simply something that's current, that has your name on it and your address on it. Is that correct?
That's correct. And the other thing is that the State Board of Elections has sent out to active voters a new voter registration card. And your voter registration card also is an acceptable form of ID. You should have gotten a red, white, and blue pamphlet in the mail. Sometimes it's hard to recognize what you're getting, but if you are an active registered voter, you should have gotten a new voter registration card in the mail from the State Board of Elections in the last couple of weeks, and that voter registration card also is sufficient ID.
Now, what should a voter do if a voter brings something that he or she believes is an acceptable form of ID and whoever is staffing the polls says, no, that's not acceptable. What should they do?
Well, among other things, the ACLU will have a hotline on Election Day, and you'll be able to call our offices at 804-644-8022 on Election Day and let us know you're having trouble, and we'll do what we can to solve your problem. You can follow the procedures that are in the law for provisional balloting if you want to go ahead and follow that route. And then we can work with you to make sure that your vote gets counted by the local elections board after it's cast by helping you provide an acceptable form of ID so that that provisional ballot will be counted. But we've given out about 40,000 little handheld cards about the rights of voters. And you may well have been able to get one of those from the NAACP or from the Crusade for Voters or from a number of other organizations. It's also available for download on our website, and you can download it from our website, which is acluva.org, and carry it with you on Election Day so you have the instructions right in front of you.
That sounds like great information and something probably every voter should do. Now, what if you forget your ID, some form of ID that we've just mentioned?
Yeah.
What should you do?
If you have no ID, if it wouldn't be inconvenient, if you live close to your poll, the best thing to do is to go home and get an ID. And that way you know for sure your vote's going to count because you're going to cast your vote on the regular voting machines. If you're in a hurry and that isn't going to work, or you've got to ride to the polls and you're not going to be able to get back there, then you need to ask for a provisional ballot, and you need to go ahead and vote on the provisional ballot. And then before Friday at noon following the election, you need to fax or take to the local registrar's office an acceptable form of ID so that you can be sure that provisional ballot will be counted.
Now, voting hours next Tuesday, I believe the polls open at 6 in the morning.
And close at 7 p.m.
What happens if you're in line to vote at 7 p.m.?
If you're in line to vote at 7 p.m., you have an absolute right to vote. So you should be able to, even if the line is really long and it takes, you know, a long time, anybody who's in line at 7 o'clock under the law is allowed to vote.
Now, what are the rules about behavior and dress around the polling area? What can you wear? What can you say? What can you do?
Well, the good news is that the ACLU's worked hard to make sure you can wear anything you darn well want to. It used to be that they would tell you that you couldn't wear a t-shirt or a button with a candidate's name into the polling place as a voter, and that's no longer a problem. You're not supposed to actively campaign within 40 feet of the doorway to the election area. So if you're a voter who happens to have a campaign button on or a campaign t-shirt on, you're entitled to walk through the process and vote with that apparel on or that button on. But you should not be campaigning for your candidate within 40 feet of the election, the polling place.
And there'll probably will be plenty of people doing that for you anyway.
They're on election day, and particularly presidential election day, my surmise is that there'll be a bunch of folks outside your polling place seeking to make a last-minute convert of you.
Now, what happens if you get to the registrar who's holding the books, and you believe you're registered to vote, but the person looking at the book says, no, you're not?
Well, you can still ask for a provisional ballot. And sometimes what happens is that you might not be trying to vote in the right precinct, or it may be that there's just a mistake in the poll book. In that case, you should still ask for a provisional ballot. You should vote that provisional ballot, and then you should go to the registrar's office and seek to sort that out.
Now, what are the different ways that people get to vote in Virginia? I know some places still have paper ballots, others have electronic voting machines. What are the different forms of voting, and what do you do if you make a mistake?
Oh, my goodness. There are all kinds of different polling machines. If you have made a mistake, you would call an election official over, and if it's a paper ballot, I mean, there are processes that they can follow to help you make sure you cast the vote correctly.
Okay. Now, tell us about people who have physical impairment, disabilities. They may not actually be able to get into the polling place or only with great difficulty. Is there some assistance available for those folks?
Absolutely. If you have trouble getting from your vehicle into the polling place, you are entitled to vote at the curbside. What you do is you notify there's usually some kind of call button or something outside of the polling place, or send somebody in to ask an election official to come out. And at that point, they will work out an accommodation. In the many of the polling places, what they do now is even bring the small laptop voting machines out to the car, but they will bring accessible equipment to you, and you may vote curbside if you are physically disabled and unable to get into the poll.
Are there any special preparations that people should keep in mind before they go out and vote next Tuesday?
Well, it's always important to make sure that you know where your polling place is, and you can go to the State Board of Elections website, which is sbe.virginia.gov, and enter your address and make sure you know exactly where your precinct is. You know, we did have redistricting not too long ago, and sometimes, particularly if you only vote in presidential elections every 4 years, which I hope people vote every year, but if you haven't voted in a couple of years, you may want to double check that you know exactly where your polling place is, so that when you get there, you're in the right place and can cast your vote on the voting machines.
And now, you mentioned folks who might vote only once every 4 years. Is there a procedure in Virginia where if you don't vote for a certain length of time, your name can be removed from the voter list entirely?
Well, one of the unfortunate realities of Virginia right now is that there are 500,000 people, half a million people, on what we call our inactive voter list. All of those people are absolutely entitled to vote this fall. Not a single one of them is ineligible. They are inactive. So if you haven't voted in a couple years, you might be on that list. And if you're on that list, it means you didn't get a new voter registration card. The State Board of Elections has chosen not to send you information about the new voter ID requirements, even though they have your address from a national change of address record. But when you go to your polling place, you are entitled to vote at the last place you voted. And it is important, again, for those people particularly to check their status on the voter registration database on the State Board of Elections website and make sure they know what precinct they're registered in, because you can only vote in the precinct you're registered in.
Well, 500,000 people is a shockingly large number of people who are on the inactive voter list. What are the reasons why somebody would have ended up on that list?
What happens is that you don't vote. Virginians are pretty mobile people, and particularly in certain urban and suburban parts of the state, folks move often, and a disproportionate number of people on that list are young people who tend to move more frequently. And what happens is that they move. The State Board of Elections sends some literature to them after they haven't voted, and that literature gets returned to the State Board of Elections. The State Board of Elections then puts them on the inactive list because they say they don't have a current address for them. There's a pretty complicated process where if you move within the same county or city, they will mail to the new address that they have for you that they got from the National Change of Address form. If you move from Arlington to Fairfax or from Richmond to Henrico, though, you move jurisdictions across those very permeable borders, they will only mail to your old address. And that's by state statute. And they mail to your old address. And if your forwarding is expired, then you never get the notification that your registration is about to be moved to the inactive list. So the way people get on the inactive list is they don't respond to a State Board of Elections mailing to confirm their new address or their old address, or they don't vote for several years, and they then get something from the State Board of Elections to which they don't respond.
So those people who are on the inactive list and find out only on Election Day when they show up at the polls, tell us specifically what should they do to make sure their vote gets counted.
Well, if they're on the inactive list, they're still registered to vote, and they may still vote normally. If they, what happens sometimes is that people go to the precinct where they now live, as opposed to the precinct of their old address, and their registration is still associated with their old address. So when they show up on Election Day, they have two choices: vote provisionally, and then at the new address, and seek afterward to make sure their vote is counted by going down to the registrar's office and showing their new address and proving that they live in the precinct where they voted, or they can go to their old address and vote in their old precinct, because you can do that for one election.
So if you've moved since your last time you voted, it would probably be really good to check and make sure that you can vote at your new address.
The time for changing your address, though, has passed as of today. So you're going to need to vote at your old address, if at all possible.
Well, that's extremely useful information. We have been talking with Claire Gustiniaga. She is the executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Virginia about voting rights in Virginia. And one last time, would you give us the ACLU of Virginia's number for people to call if they have problems on Election Day next Tuesday?
Well, our hotline number is going to be 804-644-8022, and we'll be here to answer your calls.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's Strange But True Law is from Title 63.2, which deals with welfare and social services. Under Code of Virginia, Section 63.2-510, a person shall be responsible for the support and maintenance of any child or children living in the same home in which he and the natural or adopted parent of such child or children cohabit as man and wife. So, even though it is not legal in Virginia to cohabit as husband and wife, if you do so, then you are legally responsible to support any children who happen to live there. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and that's this week's Strange But True Law.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wakebright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Veterans Aid and Attendance, available to wartime veterans and their surviving spouses, is one of the least known and yet most valuable veterans benefit programs. Join us next week at 12:30 p.m. when Eric Jorgensen from the American Association of Wartime Veterans discusses the rules to get this benefit and the huge difference it can make. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wakeway.